UAE testing.
BNG, how you doing, man?
4AKE, didn't quite catch the call sign, but I'm doing good tonight. How are you doing?
Can everyone hear me now? There was some problem earlier. I had to pump up the power on this radio.
Now coming in nice and clear, very little noise in the background there. KQ4AKE.
AKE, KD2BNG. Yeah, all right. Well, your radio signal sounds fine to me. So, yeah, this repeater has kind of funny times to it, where it's on and it's off again.
So, just curious, do you have power where you are by chance? I'm not sure where you're located. I'm outside of Simpsonville, and we do not have power, I guess one of many.
I have power for now. I'm in Gray Court. and if I lose power, it's going to be an extraordinarily cold night. As it is, I don't have central heat, and these space heaters are barely adequate. So hopefully I don't lose power.
Everything that's fallen down on the power lines has already fallen, and you won't have a problem. I'm running on a generator that's feeding most of the house, and running the radio off of a solar generator that I've designed and put together. So that's how I normally run the radio anyhow. But, yeah, luckily got enough electricity in the house to run the gas furnace, so that's a good thing.
Because that's the way I was running this radio. There's a little tiny 100-watt solar panel on the roof overhang, and that comes in here and it recharges the battery, and that battery goes into the 12-volt bus bar here where I've got all my 12-volt things plugged in. Lately, though, I don't have a battery, so I just took a mains-operated 12-volt power supply and plugged it in here. So I got to get a battery that actually works.
Roger, it's kind of neat running the radio power like that, so you don't have to have utility power. I've got two 55-amp-hour deep cycle AGM batteries that I'm using for battery power that's connected to the solar generator. And I've got supposedly 300 watts of solar panels running into the solar generator, but the highest wattage I've ever seen is like 140 watts going into the batteries.
Old, aging, 200-something, or 200 to 300 watts solar panels that are just sitting by the side of the house. One of them only has about half voltage. But now, I'll tell you what I have stored in the shipping container. I have 10 230-watt panels. So, if I don't sell them, then I got to make something out of them. 10 panels of 230 watts, that'll make a good system.
Probably, sure would. You can collect lots of power with that.
I had two others that were sitting by the side of the house. One of them only has about half voltage. They're probably supposed to be around 30 volts open circuit in bright sunlight. One of them's only about half that, I don't know why. Part of the, two of the cells may have shorted together or something. But, I could use those two panels for something, or I could go in there one day and take those 10 panels, or 5 panels, or 6 panels, and I could actually make a decent system. Inverters, 2 or 3 kilowatt inverter charger things aren't that expensive. Only thing that gets expensive is batteries.
The batteries get expensive in a hurry, and I've been playing around a little bit with how many watts of solar panels and how many amp hours of batteries and all that, and trying to figure out something that will meet requirements and all. And the truth of the matter is, when you come down to it, you just can't beat utility power as far as cost goes. So, and everybody knows that, but when the utility power goes out, it's nice to have something else, but having another system that really carries a load is extremely expensive compared to utility power.
When solar panels were somewhere over $6 a watt, which wasn't all that long ago. I think around 5 years ago, they came down to maybe $2 or $3 a watt, or maybe less. You know, the solar panels are a one-time cost. So in the long run, in 10 years, 20 years, whatever, it's a system that will pay for itself, eventually. Plus, it's nice to have a renewable system in case the grid goes out. You know, in case of a snowstorm, that breaks the power line. In case of, I don't know if you've heard about recent incidents, political nut shooting up power substations. There's been a few of those incidents. You know, so always things like that.
Following that stuff a little bit, including the latest incident up there in Moore County there, and I don't know if they ever figured out who actually did that or not, or maybe if they did figure it out, they're not telling us, but yeah, I mean, there's always a possibility of power going out. I mean, here today, all we had was cold temperatures and some wind, and beautiful, bright, sunshiny day, and, you know, there's tens of thousands of people without power just for branches falling on the power line, so yeah, it happens. I think the last big outage we had was many years ago. We had an ice storm around here, and I think we were without power for about 4 days before they got it all turned back on. So, yeah, it's definitely worth having a backup plan and a backup to the backup plan.
Because, what's the saying? Two is one and one is none. I think it's a military thing. In other words, if you have... You always have a backup for every piece of equipment. If you have one rifle and you lose that, you have nothing. If you have a backup weapon, you have something. So two is one, and one isn't any. So you need a backup for the backup.
It's one of my favorite sayings, actually, and it's very true because. You know, like right now I'm running on a gas-driven generator, but, you know, things break. And if that breaks, I'm right back where everybody else is with no power. So, you know, it's really good to have a backup to your backup plan, I guess.
At an auction a while, not too long ago, there was a, old motorhome that... You know, it was like 20, and it probably would have barely made it back here. Thing for is, it did have a generator. I was going to drive it here and more or less permanently park it here. That's your guest quarters and your backup generator and your backup living quarters or whatever.
That's a great idea. That's like a second house, right? Something happens to the first house, you got some place where you can go and stay that has electricity and heat and all that. So, yep, that's a good idea. No doubt about it.
To build on some remote property that currently has nothing at all on it. You know, buy some old motorhome that'll barely run. You know, motor it over there and just leave it there. Set it up and leave it there. And now, you know, do that 3 or 4 more times. Now you have a whole little encampment of buildings there. Actually, at this point, that lifestyle might actually suit me. I'm thinking of getting some kind of RV and just motoring the hell out of here. go live various places for a while.
I've got a couple of buddies that have actually done that. You know, retired from a full-time job and bought a big motor home and sold the house and everything in the house and climbed in the motor home. And as far as I know, they're still, you know, driving around the country, just going wherever they feel. And, you know, when it gets cold, they head south. And when it gets hot, they head north. So I guess it's not a bad way to live if you don't have, you know, a bunch of stuff that you want to keep with you, I guess, right? Because motor homes are pretty limited in space, which is, you know, if you've got a bunch of, I don't know, woodworking tools or something like that, you know, they're not going in the motorhome with you.
Have any hobbies to take up that much room? Yeah, you know, I don't really, I'm at the point in my life where I really don't need stuff. You know, what do I need? I need a couple of changes of clothing. you know, half a dozen shirts, half a dozen pair of pants, socks, underwear, whatever, a few other personal items, and, you know, one or two radios and computers, and that's pretty much it. I could probably live in one of those things without, you know, no problem.
Absolutely. You know, that's one nice thing about ham radio is it's pretty portable. You know, a couple radios and computers, and if you've got solar panels and all that kind of stuff, you pretty much got what you need to go anywhere you want and, you know, talk anywhere you want. So that's kind of a neat aspect to ham radio. And I only got my license, I don't know, 2 or 3 months ago, something like that, and I've been learning a lot about it and didn't really know anything about it before, so it's been kind of interesting learning about all the different aspects of it and everything and different types of equipment and antennas and all that kind of thing. So it's a really interesting hobby for sure.
I mean, there's so many aspects of, you know, you could do HF, you could do UHF, VHF, whatever. I'd like to make some sort of movable mount to track satellites. There's any one of a number of ham radio satellites. There's various voice digital modes. There's, you know, pretty much whatever you're into. But yeah, as far as getting a motorhome and living that way, that could actually be a cheap place to live, depending upon what they charge now to hook up to an RV park. And, you know, also I hinted earlier at possible political instability in this country. On the one hand, you got those survivalists and preppers. There might be a timeout. Let me break. You got those survivalists and preppers who are hoarding up food, ammunition, whatever. Yeah, I got me my underground bunker, and my MREs and my water and all my guns and ammo. Yeah, well, you know, there's another approach to survivalism, and I think that's to be mobile. I don't like it here. The sound of gunfire off in the distance is getting a bit too close. I think I'm going to take my entire house and just move it.
True. You know, it's going somewhere where you don't have to face a whole bunch of stuff. If there's a place to go to like that, you know, is definitely an option, and sometimes it's a really good option.
Also, often it's approach to survivalism is mobility. be able to say, yeah, you know, because I don't, you know, it's pretty much never the case that everything falls apart everywhere all at the same time. There's usually some place that's going to be, you know, relatively safer than others.
True. I mean, you know, talk about people riding out hurricanes and stuff. You know, there's always somebody that's going to stay there no matter what. And, you know, the smart thing to do when a hurricane's coming to you is get the heck out of Dodge and, you know, not have to worry about risking your life and, you know, winds and flying debris and all that stuff. Just get out and, you know, come back later when it's over with. And that's true of a lot of things. You know, it's sometimes doesn't make sense to stay in one spot if bad stuff's going on.
Well, Florida many years ago, I've ridden out hurricanes before. What was the big one down there in the early 1990s? Hurricane Andrew, was it? And there was another one some years later, Hurricane George, in the Florida Keys. And I think I actually rode that one out on a houseboat. Because I figured, well, if the water comes up, the boat's going to go with it. So, you know, unless the houseboat sinks, we're fine.
Up in Rock Hill, South Carolina, when Hurricane Hugo came through there, and of course it was already kind of expended by the time it got that far inland, but it did a lot of damage, more than anybody expected to see up there. We had a lot of trees down and power down and all kinds of damage and stuff. And it was a little on the scary side, so I can imagine, you know, being right at the leading edge of that stuff when it's really going full force is, you know, probably better off being somewhere else. I think that's the plan if anything comes through here like that is we're going to get out of the way, I think.
That hurricane force not this far inland. If we were in Charleston or Myrtle Beach or somewhere, yeah, maybe. And the plan would be to evacuate those regions, you know. And I've done that before, too. When I lived in the Florida Keys, what is it? We evacuated for something. Yeah, there was one hurricane I think we did evacuate for. And, you know, that's when they would take basically both lanes of the Florida Turnpike and turn them both in the same direction. Or both lanes of overseas highways now all run north, you know, to get extra roads for people to evacuate. But evacuating itself can be a problem if you've got a million people on the road. So sometimes hard to say what to do.
Key to that is to be the first one that evacuates, which, you know, and you can end up evacuating for no reason in that case, so it's kind of hard to know when the right time to go is, but, yeah, all kinds of risks and options, and you just do the best you can with, you know, what you're seeing.
To some person who thought, they always think, oh, yeah, I can stay here, I'm going to be fine. You know, when I lived in Long Island, you know, I had friends of mine who were on Long Beach. You know, if you know the structure of Long Island, it's like Long Beach is like one of those barrier islands. You know, it's a strip of beach, and this was right in advance of Hurricane. What was the big one? Not Irene. What was it? Sandy. You want to get out of there. You really, really, really want to get out of there. My house in, you know, in Lawrence, because that's on high ground, and you're on low ground. Oh, no, 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 I'll be fine. Yeah, well, place he was in got flooded. My car that I loaned her that was there got flooded. Everything got flooded. So if you just moved a couple of 5 miles away, you would have been fine.
With that kind of situation, you know, you're fine until you're not, right? And by the time you're not fine, it's too late to do anything about it. And those are the folks you see on the rooftops being rescued by the Coast Guard, right? The ones that, you know, they were fine up until they had to climb on the roof and swim for it or whatever. So, you know. It's, like I say, everything's a risk.
I'm on the button. Okay, there we go. Yeah, there was a joke about that. You mentioned people climbing off the rooftops. Let's see, how does that joke go? You know, the creek's rising, it's flooding the town, everyone has left town, except for this one very religious man who says he's staying in his house. Nope, I'm going to stay here. God will protect me. You know, a few hours later, the creek is still rising. He now moves to the first floor of his house. A motorboat comes by. Sir, you need to come with us. We'll save you. We'll get you out of here. Nope, nope, I'm fine. God will save me. By this time, he now has to go an hour or so later, he's on the roof of his house, and this helicopter comes by. Hey, old man. They drop a ladder. Grab the ladder. We'll drag you to safety. No, God will save me. Anyway, so the water comes over the roof and he swept away by the current and he drowns. Let me drop this. He gets to the afterlife. He sees the face of God. He says to God, why didn't you save me? God said, I sent the motorboat and the helicopter. What more do you want me to do?
A good one. Yeah, that's kind of like God helps those who help themselves, right? Yeah, I think I had heard that a long, long time ago, but I couldn't remember how it went until you got to the end of it. So, yeah, that's a good one, no doubt. Well, listen, man, I'm going to have to jump off here because I think I need to go put some more gasoline in the generator. So I'm going to jump off for a little while, but really enjoy chatting with you. I wrote down your call sign, but I'm not sure I got it right. Is it Kilo Delta 2 Victor Alpha Golf? Is that right?
Kilo Delta 2 Bravo November Golf. Name here is Glenn. And I know I didn't write your call sign, but I'm sure I'll get it again.
Bravo Delta 2, Bravo November Golf. Yeah, I was halfway close. And Glenn, very good. Enjoyed chatting with you. This is Kilo Quebec 4, Alpha Kilo Echo. Name is Wayne in Simpsonville, South Carolina. Great talking with you. I'll be clear after your final.
Well, I already forgot. Hey, Kilo Quebec 4, what did you just say? Alpha Kilo Echo. All right, we'll talk to you later, 73. There's a 9 p.m. net, as I'm sure you know. Maybe we'll see you there.
Talk to you soon, Kilo Quebec 4, Alpha Kilo Echo. We're clear.
Kilo 4, WWC, Norton.